Blog Talk Radio.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out on my own, walking these streets. Look at the things that I meet. I feel like I want to go home. What do I feel? I still believe through the shame and through the grief, through the heartache, through the tears, through the waiting, through the years. For people like us, in places like this, we need all the hope.
Welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight's radio show is the English Defence League radio show, Introspection. Didn't like that, but haven't it? So, welcome to the English Defence League radio show. This is the script with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing the so-called UK Supreme Court who ruled against Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Typical traitors pulling the strings. We will not be denied our Brexit. 17.4 million people voted out. Boris has said, we are leaving on the 31st of October. And if anything else suffices, all hell will let loose. critical look inside governments, inside media, inside core beliefs, and inside ourselves. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. That was Sir Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that was, of course, the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, let me pass it over and welcome Dave Hector Milner, my wingman, this evening. So, Dave, how you doing, mate? How you doing?
Good evening, Jeff. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Good afternoon to everybody in the United States. Hello to everyone around the world and, of course, off Earth. As usual, as always, we have a big, big show with more material than we're probably going to have time for. Yeah. But first of all, Jeff, before we really begin biting into our subject matter, we've got a bit of a bit of housekeeping that we need to attend to. All right. Now, as you folks know, Jeff is a devotee of Sunday Long Live Radio, and we've got a little something special coming up. Jeff, I'm going to let you introduce this, and then I'm going to play something. You know I'm going to play something. I'm always going to play something. Go ahead, brother.
yes, well, I've just lost a bit. Dave, I can't remember what I was going to do now. My apologies. It's just my mind's gone blank.
Hey.
I've had that Islamic moment, you know, where my brain seizes up on me. You know, I'm
Jeff,
sorry, mate.
I keep telling you not to watch those Democrats on CNN, man. They'll do that to you every time. No, brother.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. What we're talking about here, guys, and let me just remind Jeff, is we're going to have a very special show upcoming. Are we not, Jeff?
Oh.
On Monday. So
yes,
take it away, brother.
Correct. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been holding back, and I've we've been in talks with a great lady, great host, of the Sunday Long Live Radio Show, and that's WBN, World Broadcasting Network 324. And we've been in talks with Rhea Bow and to have her as a guest on the show, because myself and Dave have been watching very closely as this radio show has hit the road running. It's absolutely dynamic. It's something that we've all called out for, and I phoned as soon as I heard the show. I called in, and I've got to say I was hooked. I was hooked on the Sunday Long Live Radio Show, of course, WBN 324. As I say, we've got a special show. Instead of doing a Sunday show, we're doing one on Monday, and maybe Dave can fill in the details, but we're very happy to announce that Rhea Bow, the Sunday Long Live Radio host, will be joining us, and we've got so much to talk to this quite extraordinary lady. Well, Dave, she is. We had a chat with Rhea, didn't we? And it was amazing some of the things that Rhea's been involved with over the years, and to lead her in the rightful position of doing what she's doing. So that will unfold, but ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be one of those shows you've just got to listen. This is just going to be absolutely an awesome show. So it's one of our specials, Dave, isn't it? It's going to be one of our special shows, and we really look forward to having Rhea Bow join us on the English Defence League radio show coming this Monday. So with that, Dave, let me pass it over to you, Bavi.
Right. Well, Jeff, what you guys need to know is that it is going to be on Monday the 30th. No, we will not be having a Sunday show this time. And it will be at 4 p.m. in the UK. That's when it'll be. And Rehobo will be joining us on this program. And it's not going to be a super heavy show like we normally talk about. This is going to cover, you know, some lighter subjects and things of that nature, but we like to have a bit of fun on this program, and we still encourage you to listen to it because this is an individual who has great accomplishment, and if I'm any judge, and I've been doing this thing for 51 years observing media, if I'm any judge, she's on her way up. So Jeff and I will be able to say we had Rehobo on our program way back when, before she became a super media mogul. And Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and play this bit here. Rehobo gave us a little pocket history of herself. This is about a minute and a half long. Jeff, you ready for this?
Yeah, go for it, Dave.
All right, guys, you're listening to the English Defense League radio show, and this is the lady that you're going to hear from on Monday, starting at around 4:15-ish p.m. right here on the English Defense League radio show. Check it out.
My potted history is I left university with 2 degrees, one in music and one in sound engineering. I started a third degree in medicine. So that's a bit of the formal background. I went to work on the Botswana Stock Exchange after university down in South Africa and Botswana. I was there for 7 years. And then I became a freelance PA. And then I was usually chartered flights with various entrepreneurs, and I started to learn industry. Then I set up in South America, just outside Rio. We had one place in Rio, and we had one place in Salvador. And then we set up business there, working in mining, and it was still all formal. Then I was in LA for 2 years, and then I started to get in on the show scene, the music scene, and so on. Then I moved back to the UK, started to run a company. Then I was invited to become a group CEO, and I run 3 companies. Then one day I was sitting in my office, I threw the towel in, said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to start a media outlet. And I began there, and I sort of cut my teeth as an economics reporter because I've got the financial background in New York. Then I went to Canada. I was broadcasting as a co-host. And then I come back to the UK, and I set up WBN.
There you go.
And there you go.
It's just an amazing, you know, with that, when we was discussing with Rhea, just want, you know, fill us in. That's pretty awesome stuff, isn't it, Dave? That when this lady has done over the years, and what she's done, that what she's doing, and I think there's stage 3 of about a part. There's 8. Parts that she wants to do. She's got video platforms, and she's really going in for it. And you know, we are seeing something really awesome is happening. And it's, as I said to her when I went on the show, it's so good to come away from the mainstream media and hear a new media out there who talks about issues that we do on your show. So that's how I feel things are, you know, as Dave said, you know, we can look back in time to come and say, well, you know, we was there. We see the great birth of this great radio show, and it's coming out on all different platforms. And she'll fill you in a few of the details when she joins us Monday, because it is... every time she's cheated, I'm thought, wow, that's pretty awesome, you know. So, and I know, I think, Dave, you feel the same. It's just amazing what Rhea and many other people are achieving now. It was called out. It's a breath of fresh air, isn't it, Dave?
Well, yeah, it is, Jeff. It's going to be a different thing. Like I said, she's on her way up, in my opinion, and I think she's getting together a worldwide network of podcasters. She's getting into video, just as, you know, just as Ken McClinton has been into video at TECN. You know, and I have to say, for the fake stream media, this is yet another challenge that I don't think they're going to be able to overcome, because they become propagandists for the left. It's really obvious who they're backing. They're not real. They're not honest. Nobody trusts them, and nobody should trust them. So it's going to be nice to have her on the show. Now, Jeff, we're going to swing on into this show here, though. You know, guys, we'll remind you again before this show is over about the Monday show right here at blogtalkradio.com at 4 p.m. in the U.K. That's going to be 11 a.m. Eastern in the United States. So maybe there'll be some guys over here.
I'll say to our American brothers and sisters, don't miss the show. It's going to be pretty awesome. And to anybody that's listening on the side of the pond and Canada and around, just listen to this show. It's going to be pretty awesome, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, Dad. Bullshit.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's going to be on at 11 a.m. Eastern in the United States, and that may afford some people who ordinarily wouldn't have the schedule to listen to our show when it normally comes on, to give it a listen. So that that may give them not only a listen to introduction to our show, but you know, an introduction to Rhea Beaux and the things that she's doing. So Jeff, we're gonna go move on now. And what can we say, guys? If you're in the UK, you know that Parliament is back in session, and that, oh God, Jeff, I don't know, man. You know, Jeff and I were having a talk, folks, before the show, and I was telling him again, I've been observing this stuff for 51 years, and I've never seen a legislative body that supposedly represents its own people just tell its own people, you know what, screw you, we're just going to do things the way we want. I've never seen that before now. I'm going to read this headline, Jeff, and listeners, we've got two stories and bullet points, headlines that we want to read to you guys. And this will give you a snapshot as to the mind of Parliament and the left in the UK now. And people in the United States, you've seen how single-minded our Congress is. Well, this Parliament is even more single-minded. This stuff comes off the Daily Mail. And this was stuff that I pulled off of it on the 26th. Okay. You know, which is obviously today. That's when it was updated. First headline, this just blows my mind, Jeff. Remainers are plotting to force Boris Johnson to go to Brussels to beg for a Brexit delay immediately. That's the headline. Now, here are there are four subheads, you know, four bullet points, as Jeff would say. Currently, the PM has to ask for a Brexit delay if no deal is done before October the 19th. Well, that one's kind of in argument, but anyway. The second one, Remainers want deadline brought forward away from October the 31st departure date. The third one is they fear if the PM breaks the law, it will take too long to force him to comply. And then the final one, Lib Dem Joe Swinson, who really has become the Darth Vader of this whole thing, guys, said Johnson had shown he is prepared to disobey the law, which is a complete crock. Now, Jeff, what are your comments about that first one, brother?
Well, you know, as I say, the Supreme Court ruled over Prime Minister Boris Johnson. It's quite obvious with the way she came out when she read the details of turning, turning away from what the prologue had been. And when you see her standing there, ladies and gentlemen, one thing that I noticed about this person, and I think most of you would do. If you see that video of her coming out and speaking, look what she had on her shoulder. What she had on her shoulder, just to let you know, if you haven't quite got up to speed with that, what she was wearing was, believe it or not, a spider brooch. Now, if anybody knows about the occult and Luciferians, this is who they are, right? Now, I've been saying this, we've been saying this for a long time. They are now brazen. They're showing their true faces. That is who we are up against. These paedophilic, satanic occultists of the darkest kind. That is what we're fighting against. That's what we've always been fighting against, and that's why we will prevail against this. That's the point I really want to say about the Supreme Court here, you know, what they summed up. It's quite obvious, and we was in talks now today, that it's quite obvious that he can slow walk it, he can do what he wants. He's just going to get us through the line. No matter what they say about him breaking the law, they say he's not breaking no laws. He's well within his legal things. I don't think he's got legal teams around him. He's got us supporting him. He's got 74.4 million people who are rooting for Boris. No faceless idiots like that in the background who's going against the will of the people. At least he's doing his duty for the country in what a Prime Minister should do. I think that's the first point, Dave, we wanted to cover. Put my bit of an edge on it there, mate.
Well, you know what? That's true, Jeff. I mean, it really is looking like on both sides of the pond here. We've got we have got gearing up. We are now, as you said, a couple of months back, man. As you said yourself, we are engaged. This is the battle of the deep state, the battle of the swamp against the people. And it doesn't matter whether the people's will is embodied in someone like Boris Johnson or President Trump, the Prime Minister of the Ukraine, who was newly elected in April, by the way. I learned earlier today there was another guy that no one expected to be elected to office, but there was so much corruption there that the people of the Ukraine just said, enough. This guy was actually the host of a comedy TV show, and he got elected to the presidency of Ukraine just to get rid of the corruption, man. So yeah, the battle has been joined. Now, guys, we have talked about often, Jeff and I, about the real reason a lot of people voted to leave the EU, and it's because they get punished if they come right out and say, we want tighter border controls because the Mohammedans are just overrunning our nation. And we've given example after example of that kind of thing, Tommy Robinson not being the least of that. But this next headline kind of says it all, guys. All right, check this out. All right, Labor opens the door on migrants. Activists vote for a huge overhaul of the UK border controls and the scrapping of detention centers. Okay, let's just check this out here real quick. Okay, now, the bullet points for this one, the subheads, there are four of those. Number one, Labour delegates today voted for party to, quote, maintain and extend, end quote, free movement. In other words, they want more migrants to come into the UK. Yeah, open borders. Number the second one, pledge could now be included in the Labour Party's next general election manifesto. So they're binding this to anybody that runs in the Labour Party. Now here's the third one. All right. Critics claimed it showed Jeremy Corbyn wants uncontrolled mass immigration, which He does. And the final one, Jeff. The Home Secretary, Priti Patel, claimed Labor doesn't believe in immigration limits. So, Jeff, go.
Well, yeah, it's quite obvious. You know, you had the same issues in the United States and like most of Western countries across this globe. We had the same problem where the, let's say, the right side of things, the positive side of people are saying, no, there needs to be a limit. This is just crazy. It's getting out of hand. It destroys nations. We have an open border situation, which I think your president spoke about many times. It destroys nations.
Yeah.
And that is what we're seeing. What the Labour Party is trying to do is the same as what the Democrats are trying to do, an open border.
Mm-hmm.
Do away with different controls. Let them flood through. Take all the walls that President Trump has built, they want them to be pulled down. They want open borders. They want the country to be flooded with people. That would be totally uncontrolled immigration. Uncontrolled. Totally, you know, we're not looking. Come in. Come on. You mean there's only 50 of you? I was expecting 200 more. Come on. Take up where you want to go. There you go. That is how it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just me speaking. But really, truthfully, this is how serious it is. These left, far wing, whatever you want to call them, are out of control with what they're planning. They're going to fail big time. People, the common sense people, this world is not going to put up with this total out of control immigration to our countries. Yes, we don't want people coming in. As long as it's controlled. You've got to have control, Dave. You've got to have a nation. It's only right, isn't it, Dave? That's my main point now I'd like to make on that.
Yeah.
It just infuriates me that people would vote for people like this. So as, they'd be crying to people like this, oh, if only we'd have listened to you. My daughter was raped last week. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, why didn't we listen? Well, it's too late when you've let a bloody horse through the gate, isn't it? You muppet, what are you doing? But then again, it's all about them bringing about the chaos, isn't it, Dave? Let's be honest, it's all about the chaos.
It's all about the chaos for the rulers and for the maybe well-intentioned people in the rank and file. It's all about political correctness. And that's where they've managed to get that wedge in there. Oh, it's only right for us to take them in. But, you know, I bring this back to what the Dalai Lama himself said, okay, over the summer. He said that Europe should be a place for Europeans, all right? You know, like anybody reasonable, he didn't say stop all immigration. He just said that there should be a place, culturally speaking, for Europeans. And, you know, of course, you can bring that across the pond and say there should be a place, culturally speaking, for Americans and for Africans and for everybody else. There is nothing good that can come. The Dalai Lama did not say this. I'm saying this. There's nothing good that can come from civilizations experiencing ethnic cleansing because these principates that are run by unelected shadowy figures want to bring it about just so they can bring in cheap labor and keep on enriching themselves, Jeff. And I think that's part of looking at ourselves as civilizations. You know, Jeff, you guys in the UK, the higher ups, the snobs, the toffs, all wanted people to be their servants and everything like that. So they began bringing in the Mohammedans.
Peons, Dave. The upper crossways were calling us the peons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, but they wanted the cheap. Well, yeah, you're right. And they wanted the cheap labor. And in the United States, same thing. The people who would like to be the upper crust anyway in the United States wanted the cheap labor. So they began bringing in people from south of the border mostly. All right. And it's come back now to bite us in the butt. And the ordinary people of both of our countries And it's not just our countries, it's other countries that are listening, all of you guys listening in Japan, in China, okay, in Italy, in all the other countries that are listening to us. We're seeing your cultures being washed away by all these Mohammedans. It's been the same there. Yeah, bring in the cheap labor and now see what it's done. But everybody's had enough of it. Now, Jeff,
some of the countries had a chance to bring in Christians from Syria, but they refused, and they just decided to bring the Muslims instead. So, the plight of the poor Christians, they put the rights of the Muslims over the Christians here. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong here, Dave, isn't there? That's quite obvious. It's all about a genocide of Christian faith. It's against the Christianity, period. That's it, Dave. It's against the Christianity, the faith.
Well, that's part of it, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, I would ask, was it necessary for anyone to import the Mohammedans when there were so many Christians being persecuted and still being persecuted, by the way, in both Asia, I'll say the Middle East, I won't say Asia, I won't use lefty speak there, and Africa. Horrible persecution going on, and yet they don't want to take them in. As you said, Jeff, there's a problem there, and it can only really be explained by people being given bribes and working to spread Mohammedism across the planet. Now, Jeff, and listeners, we do want to switch over a little bit. There was an audio put out by Paul Watson some time ago on the 10th, actually, of this month, and I found it very interesting. I gave it to Jeff, and this one is a kind of introspective look at ourselves, and I think there's some good talking points to be had here. When the left never looks at themselves, they like to say, well, I think it's time for the right to really look at themselves and examine their souls. The left never do that. And we do. That's the point. We examine ourselves and we ask why we believe the things we believe, why we do the things that we do. And once in a while, we try to correct ourselves a little bit. And that is only part of what this is about. I think this is a great audio. It is called Degeneracy. And guys, I'm going to go ahead and play this. It's about 7.5 minutes long. Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and play this. This will be part one. There's two parts. You ready?
Yeah, go for it, guys.
All right, guys. You are listening to the English Defense League radio show. And this is Paul Watson. Here we go.
Welcome to the Age of Degeneracy. The number of people dying from drug overdoses in the United States is at its highest level ever. Deaths from alcohol abuse have almost doubled since 1999. Given that America seems to be collectively more inebriated than Hunter S. Thompson on the last day of Woodstock, you'd think conservatives would be more vehement in promoting social conservatism. Instead, they appear to be doing the exact opposite. The mainstream conservative movement appears to be awkwardly crowbarring hedonistic moral relativism into its core message in a desperate attempt to appeal to younger voters.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Completely jettisoning social conservatism in the process. At this point, what are you even conserving?
You don't have to be Christian to be conservative. You don't have to be pro-life to be conservative. You don't have to hate weed to be conservative. You don't have to be straight to be conservative. You don't have to be traditional to be conservative.
Hello, my fellow conservative people. Now let me explain how being a liberal makes you a conservative. Your kids are being re-educated by predatory drag queens about non-binary genders, snorting ketamine and twerking. Abortion has gone from being a shameful last resort to a celebrated sacred virtue, and family units bonded by faith have been replaced with atomized, drug-addled, broken homes. But hey, those GDP numbers are still looking quite good, so fuck it, right? When my daughter gets jailed for dealing drugs to pansexual college kids at a gay pride parade because she couldn't afford her third abortion, at least I'll still have my rugged individualism. I mean, why not capitulate on every last single social moray, given that you've thrown the towel in on virtually everything else? American conservatives would personally dress up in drag and read books to children if they thought it would raise the GDP. Why, yes, I'm pro-choice. Why, yes, I support LGBT. Why, yes, I do smoke weed. Why, yes, I am an atheist. That's right. I'm a conservative. If you are all those things, then fine. But you're about as conservative as Myra Hindley is kind to children. If you only knew how bad things really are. If you only knew how many Christian conservatives engage in the kind of lurid behavior that would put any hedonistic leftist to shame. If you only knew how many of them posture as role models for young men while living the very lifestyles that wreck young men's lives. I'm trying not to sound too preachy, but if you're going to grandstand all day about embodying the antidote to amoral, impetuous libertinism, about being a fine, upstanding conservative, then start living like one. Now, I'm not saying you can't go out from time to time and have a laugh and a drink with your mates. Believe me, I'm no Mother Teresa. I've bathed in the worldly waters of the profane on many occasions. But when public intoxication and gratuitous debasement becomes the defining characteristic of Western masculinity, something's gone horribly wrong. Most guys think it's manly to pound beers all weekend, but then they can't run more than a couple of miles or hammer out 25 push-ups. The promotion of binge drinking as manly is a marketing ploy to trick young men into forking over their hard-earned cash to a giant corporation. Beer literally converts testosterone to estrogen in your body and gives you bitch tits. So why is its overconsumption being promoted as a masculine trait? Degeneracy is a broad topic, but at its core you'll find alcoholism. And nobody does alcoholism quite like the British. Brits have the worst drinking problem in Europe. Over 1 million of them are drinking at levels that will knock 2 to 3 decades off their lives. Researchers describe this group as the most severely affected population of alcohol users, chronically intoxicated, to the extent that their organs are being poisoned and their perception is impaired on a daily basis. Unlike virtually every other country in the world, Britain is unique for having women who consume as much alcohol as men. Walk through the centre of any UK city on a Saturday night and you'd be forgiven for thinking you'd stumbled onto the set of 28 Days Later. The crescendo of mindless, screeching, scantily clad, shit-faced women and salivating, aggressive, vulgarian young men combines to create a kind of debauched, jarring cacophony that sounds like it's been ripped straight from a Lucio Fulci horror movie. In England, there is scant difference between the sound of people enjoying themselves and people being murdered. If the English disease used to be football hooliganism, it's now been replaced by hooliganism of a different kind. A putrid, visceral onslaught against everything that's pure and decent. But Brits aren't content with keeping their degeneracy in-house. No, no, no. They export it all over the world.
19,000 people sought consular assistance last year, according to the latest figures by the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, into British behaviour abroad.
One of their favourite things to do is to get drunk and urinate on war memorials. According to the mayor of Riga in Latvia, this is their speciality. Brits also love to inflict their barbarism on Spain, where residents in Mallorca are so sick of their loutish behaviour, graffiti has appeared all over the capital which reads, "Tourists go home," and "Tourist, you are the terrorist." In Barcelona, locals staged huge protests demanding British people leave. ISIS expressed their distaste by slaughtering a bunch of Brits on a beach in Tunisia. That was a bit much. Visit Benidorm. It's like the human equivalent of one of those safari parks where monkeys sling shit at you, furiously masturbate in front of your children and steal your windscreen wipers, only with British people. Lovely. Meanwhile, in a Magaluf nightclub, a British teenager was filmed performing oral sex on 24 men in return for a free holiday. She ended up winning a $5 cocktail. Why do you think giant transnational corporations and the elitists who run them constantly promote binge drinking, lottery tickets, and gambling? To make vast amounts of money, yeah, but it's also to ensure that the underclass remains mired in its own self-indulgent, self-destructive deterioration. It's kind of hard to be upwardly mobile when most of your time is divided between pissing away your disposable income in the betting shop, being completely paralytic, and waking up in a pool of your own vomit. And despite there being no widespread binge drinking culture in America, when you extrapolate out Americans' drinking habits, about half of American women would be considered alcoholic, and about 70% of men would be borderline or alcoholic. So-called deaths of despair, deaths from suicide, drug and alcohol abuse, kill more Americans than those who died during the Vietnam War or at the height of the crack epidemic. Deaths from despair have doubled from 22.7 deaths of despair per 100,000 Americans in the year 2000 to 45.8 per 100,000 in 2017, easily eclipsing all prior 20th century highs. The US suicide rate in 2017 was 33% higher than just 20 years ago. Opioid deaths claim 130 lives every single day.
And there's the first half of it, guys. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio program with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, your take first, brother, on that part one.
Well, it's hard-hitting, it, but the truth, even though it might sound unsavory, it's the truth. That's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we're looking into. Unfortunately, what Paul was saying is exactly that, and it's sad. It's a sad reflection of society as a whole. That you know, people want to binge drink, do absolutely crazy things. but it's, I suppose it's because it seems the moral fibre has gone out of the society today. It's a different society as what it was, say, 30, 40 years ago, when there was, you know, there was more of a family-orientated thing, it seems like, these days. It's, there's no discipline in schools, you see, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
I mean, I when I went to school, probably same as Dave, I mean, I'd done something wrong and I got the cane. People might listen and say, ooh, that's a bit... Yeah, but it was... It was what was, you know, you spoiled a rod, you spoiled a child. And that's the oldest saying going, probably. but it's hard hitting. People need to look in within themselves and look at society, where it's going, what's happening. Excuse me. But I still believe, just to let you know, Dave, of all the bites has joined and has... I said hello to Vulp, and he said, God bless you.
Hey, what?
So I'm just let you
God
know.
God bless
that,
you as well, man.
It's joined the thing. Yeah, but it's hard hitting, and it's good to see, you know, people speaking the truth like Paul's doing. It's very hard to listen to, but because the truth is, it can be. It hits you hard in the face when you realise that. What Paul said was nothing was wrong. What he said, everything, he was factual, and he's got the stories that would back him up on that. And that's one thing I like about Paul Watson. He shoots from the hip. Dave.
Yeah, well, Jeff, you're right about that. And you know, two things jump out at me about that. When that years ago, this had to be might have been 5 years ago or more. I was involved with Jeesky Rocks. I would be on his program a lot of times. He didn't really have panelists, but he did bring a lot of people in a lot of times in his studio. And we did a show at that point on the vast rising number of college-age kids in the United States that were committing suicide. And you just heard Paul Watson talk about the quote unquote deaths of hopelessness or whatever, and I think part of this is if you want to look for a place to blame, yes, I think that first of all it's a lack of God everywhere. I think that avenue has been cut off to people. They believe so, they become hopeless. You know, there's that and. It's being encouraged, the replacement of God and the comfort of family, which, quite honestly, Jeff, saved my life and the lives of many others, has been replaced with consumerism and just conspicuous consumption and constant consumption. And this brings me, Jeff, to something that... Tammy Bruce, who is an author and also who has podcast for many years here in the United States of America, pointed out, all right, if you deprive people of money, you deprive them of power. All right. So if people are being encouraged to, as Paul Watson said, drink themselves into oblivion and blow all their money in betting shops in the UK or on lottery tickets here in the United States or on frivolous consumptive things like I'm going to, as far as food goes, for my birthday, on a regular basis, then they're going to have less money. They're going to have less power. They're going to have less ability to influence the world around them. And is this something that I think is being directed by the rulers of the left and the political class? I think it is, Jeff. And it is something that is partly our fault because
we've got to accept a big responsibility, our generation that has seen this, ascend upon ourselves, and we should have done something quite a number of years ago. Should have been some moral fabric that pulled people together to turn away from I suppose you could call it debauchery in a sense, and maybe I'm over-dramatizing.
It's a bit of a debauch,
It does seem that way. It's it's tragic to see that this is. You can quite. I've got a couple of things that Volk said, and he puts things into a good perspective. Oh, you don't mind, Dave. He said, first of all, Volk has said, are you aware how few political shows there are? Even fewer are conservative. A show like this one is very rare. We are in danger of going extinct. Well,
I appreciate
this show
that,
won't. As long as I've got breath in my body in there, we'll keep pushing on. People like Rhea Bowe with the Sunday Long Live radio show. Of course, don't forget Global Patriot Radio with Vito and Al, the network.
Mm-hmm.
People like us. We'll stay there. We'll fight for
Media.
The last man, every breath that we got in our body. But he also goes on to say, and that means that one says, British are getting super drunk. Makes total sense to me. I mean, what else would you do in response to all the insane socialism? He goes on to say, didn't the Polish and Russians turn into drunk socialist countries? I think he made some good points there, Dave, and that just brought us back in a round circle there, didn't it?
Well, it brings us back around to the point I was going to make, which is, as you said, Jeff, years ago, we should have had our eye on the ball closer. You know, and I've said this a few times, and I'll say it here again. We abdicated our responsibility and gave trust, too much trust, in our leaders, and we didn't have enough good ones. There weren't enough Ronald Reagans in this world. There weren't enough Margaret Thatchers in this world. And the sad thing is that the evil people in the background, the shadowy figures out there in the deep state in all of our countries, not just yours and mine, were always in the background ready to manipulate people, right? And I think that's a big thing. Borpa Byte, you're quite correct, man. And that's why we wanted to do this show, was to have a little bit of a critical look at ourselves, and we appreciate you saying that, man. Jeff, I wondered before we play part two of this, if you might possibly want to call back in. I know it's getting close on to the time, and I can not only play the SHR Media promos while you're doing that, but I can also play an extra promo, which we have, for Rhea Bowe, just to give people a little bit more of an accent.
But before we do, Dave, I just Volk would made another comment, and I really, it's good to see Volk here. And
go ahead.
He says, in capital letters, this is as well, he said this, hopeless people tip the bottle. I think he makes a lot of sense. I think really and truthfully, retrospectively speaking, I think if some people feel that they're in a hopeless situation, that, as you say, they tip the bottle. That could be it. I don't know. It's something that we need to look into a little bit more, because I think you make a good, valid point there. As once again, Volpe, good to have your comments, brother. And with that, pass
well,
it back to you, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is a destructive thing, and you know, that's going to be the deal. Now, guys, we're going to go ahead and play the promos. First, of course, we're going to play a promo that is rather special. I'm just going to cue that up right now because this is the promo that Rhea Beaux has for her network. All right, and we wanted to do that one before we did the SHR Media promos, okay? And now, guys, this show right here, the English Defense League Radio Show, I'll tell you that, can also be heard at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com under the title UBG on EDL. All right, the show times for that are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. That's 6 p.m. in the UK, and at midnight on Saturdays, Eastern in the United States, and that's 5 a.m. Saturdays in the UK. And if you happen to be listening to this program that way, you can also hear this show through the SHR Media YouTube page and on the Western Free Radio Network. But if you want to hear it live and you want to get in and get into the chat with Vorpobyte and some of the rest of the people we have, our normal show times, this isn't the special that we're going to run, but our normal show times and days are Thursday and Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. But we are going to be having a special show coming up on Monday the 30th at 4 p.m. in the UK, and that's going to be 11 a.m. in the United States. And the lady who is going to be joining us, Rhea Beaux, has a fantastic new effort that she is running now. She is really setting this thing up, and it's going to go up like the space shuttle, guys. We're going to start this one first. This is the English Defense League Radio Show, and this is the WBN promo.
Okay, so there's a shortfall of truth in the media, and there's a ton of information out there that the mainstream media will not get near. 9/11, banker occupation, the Clintons, safe and natural health information, the list just goes on and on. Enter the World Broadcasting Network. We aim to challenge censorship the tech overlords deal out daily with shows like Sunday Long Live Radio, American Hook Radio, and the Robert Scott Bell Show. We are fighting back for you. Why? Because this is going to take all the truth tellers to push back, and WBN 324 aims to be right in the middle of the action. So just type in your browser, WBN 324, and join the fight for truth.
All right, guys. Now, that's the kind of thing that you can expect to hear. Okay, that is the WBN promo. And the lady who is in charge of that is going to be joining us on Monday at 4 p.m. in the UK, 11 a.m. in the United States. And we are going to be happy to be doing a show with her. It's going to be completely off the hook. Now, guys, we're going to run the SHR Media promo.
No, Dave, can I just do this before we go into our annual promos thing? Volpe Bright said, I desperately need an 11 a.m. show. There are no more morning political shows. Well, if you stay with us this coming Monday, Volpe, you will have an 11 a.m. show. So there you go, Dave. I just want to let you know what Volpe just said. Okay, buddy?
All right, Jeff. Yes, it will be 11 a.m. Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern Monday, and that's 4 p.m. in the United Kingdom. Be a special show. And now, here you go, guys. These are going to be the SHR Media promos. This will take about 3.5 minutes. You guys are listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Jeff, you may want to call back in.
What do you guys?
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Hey, this is Michael Wright.
And I'm Shannon Wright.
Join us for The Right Way with Shannon and Mike, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on SHR Media.
Why are they joining us?
For fun things like sports, politics.
Oh, maybe some news and entertainment?
And all kinds of other things.
Money and recipes and events, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so join us Monday through Thursday, 7 to 9 a.m. here on SHRmedia.com.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York, the Lid himself, Jeff Dunnett. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com and Lid Radio. We fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunnett.
It's your business diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truth on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
The new show on the SHR Media Network, Sackheads Against Tyranny. On shrmedia.com, go there quick like a bunny, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, every Wednesday, live and direct on the SHR Media Network, shrmedia.com. Be there.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
And welcome back to the Neiman Smith Lee Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And if there's a spider, Jeff's going to recognize it. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, I keep getting big ones and having to put them out. I've got more self-control over it now. Don't run around up my ears a lot. I managed to control my inner fears, and I've been taking out huge ones. Some are so big that it looks like I had to harvest them before I took them out of the earth. You know what I'm saying, David?
Well, that's really hard, Jeff.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed, I don't know why it is, but you always get the very, very large spiders in your bath. You know, I found a solution. There you go. This is a total new breakthrough.
Oh, here we go. Public service announcement, everybody. Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff. Yeah, do it.
Listen, guys. In future, you don't want to see dirty, great big spiders in your bath. Put your plug in. That's all I'm going to say. It's a stoic, this is a stoic breaking news. Keep your plug plugged in. Don't let them out.
I've been told that many a time, Jeff, but not about spiders. But anyway,
I was talking about dart plugs, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what Dave is thinking.
Wow. Okay. But back to the subject at hand. Now, guys, We were okay in the first part of the show. You heard part one of a two-parter that I made. It's all part of a video that Paul Watson made called Degeneracy. Okay, and that was the first part. Now, Jeff, if you're ready, we're going to roll into the second part, and it's going to be just over 8 minutes long. You ready for this?
Yeah, go for it, guys.
All righty, guys. As I said, you're listening to the English Defense League radio show, and remember, keep your plug in. Here we go.
What's driving the despair? Increased availability and addictiveness of drugs caused by lax drug laws, something this new breed of hedonistic conservatives seem to support, collapsing birth rates and declining marriage rates, something this new breed of hedonistic conservatives seem to support, increasing secularization, something this new breed of hedonistic conservatives seem to support, and social media, which when it comes to giving them carte blanche to do whatever they want, my private company, is something this new breed of hedonistic conservatives seem to support. What fantastic advice does that legacy bastion of conservatism, the National Review, have for its readership? Many of whom are at huge risk of becoming another death of despair statistic. Lift weights? Go to church? Have babies? No. Watch more television! Obey. Consume. Conform.
It really boils down to our ability to accept. We don't need pessimism. There are no limits.
It figures it would be something like this.
Another factor that drives despair amongst working class whites and leads them to alcoholism is stagnant paychecks and diminishing economic opportunities, which is why they voted for Trump. Strange, then, that the Trump administration continues to import more than 1 million legal immigrants every single year, something that exacerbates that problem. But to maintain their own hedonistic lifestyle of decadence, the elite needs a steady supply of mass immigration. Servant class jobs, which exist largely to cater for the needs of the elite, are booming in America, massively outstripping overall job growth. This sector grew 114% between 2008 and 2018, while overall US jobs grew just 7% in that same period. The ultra-wealthy needs to keep importing their wage slaves to massage and pedicure them, because you've got to look good for that date with a $2,000 escort girl or that exclusive trip to Orgy Island, and for young people, the picture is even less rosy. Amongst millennials, there's been a 47% increase in major depression since 2013. From 2007 to 2017, adults aged 18 to 34 saw a 69% increase in alcohol-related deaths, a 108% increase in drug-related deaths, largely fueled by the opioid crisis, and a 35% increase in death by suicide. But can you really blame them for rushing to the refuge of an inebriated stupor, given the example that older generations have set? It is not the young people that degenerate. They are not spoiled till those of mature age are already sunk into corruption. Crippling student loan debt, unaffordable housing, and the disintegration of entire communities, familial or religious, with whom they could share their burdens. All those factors can be blamed on boomers, many of whom are now too busy being off their faces on fentanyl and couldn't give a shit. Another reason why we appear to be more susceptible to degeneracy than ever is that we have too much time on our hands.
All the devil will find work for idle hands to do.
This spare time will only increase with automation. Will universal basic income and a 15-hour work week really bring us happiness? Or merely more opportunities to wallow in the existential dread of our own meaningless vacuity?
The Industrial Revolution and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
There is a possibility, a hope, that we will work less. Yet many new stupid forms of amusement might fill our free time. I still believe in work and creativity. If we do not have enough things to do, even if we will feel happy just sitting, watching films and drinking, it will be a very stupid existence. It will soon get dire. But Paul, my freedom! The freedom to be a soulless husk of a human, slaving away at a corporate job to make ends meet so that you have enough money to blow on stimulants. Some freedom. Would you give up an endless cycle of nihilistic, barren distractions for authentic life-sustaining happiness? Apparently not. But hey, if the situation was hopeless, their propaganda would be unnecessary. And don't get me wrong, pathological progressivism is as much to blame as anything else. Did you hear about this new sexual fetish? Couples repeatedly getting pregnant than having multiple abortions. What a time to be alive. Question regarding abortions and breeding fetish. I have a female friend who has a really powerful fetish for breeding. She has never used any type of birth control. She is with a male partner currently, who is just like her, into breeding, and they've been practicing their fetish for quite a few abortions. I know this fetish. My girlfriend and me have the same fetish. My girlfriend enjoys her pregnancies, and she enjoys the abortion. Her preferred date for the abort is between 20 and 24 weeks of gestation. I enjoy it to make her pregnant, and I enjoy the time of her pregnancy. She has no menstrual period, and she is sexual, very active. Sexuality without prevention is very emotional and inexpensive. In the last 10 years in our relationship, we have done 7 aborts, and my girlfriend is pregnant again with a little girl. Abortion fetish is a great method for birth control. Do not be angry about your girlfriend, but let them enjoy their pregnancies. This is what a baby looks like at 20 weeks. That's halfway through the pregnancy. They have ears, toes, fingers. They feel pain. It is good and rare to hear of a couple, both man and woman, where both members are into abortion and pregnancy. This is a wonderful and potent example of personal power, where sex meets violence and creation combines with destruction. Thank you for sharing your exciting romance and would like to know about how this latest abortion was for you. I can imagine that it's a very bonding experience between you and your partner. Deliberately creating a baby, letting it almost fully develop, then wantonly murdering it to satisfy some deranged sexual fetish. Wonderful! Breaking: Iceland's new liberalized abortion law has gone into effect. Women are now able to access abortion on request up to 22 weeks of pregnancy, and minors are no longer obligated to obtain parental or guardian consent. Disgusting.
Nah, delicious. 7 billion is too many! We should scoop the little f***ers innards out and mail them to your kind.
Thanks for that ringing endorsement, Alice. But who needs babies when you can blow half your income on some 40-year-old cam girl to strip for you on the internet? Speaking of degenerate fetishes, listen to this.
I came out to my family about my fetishes and I've never felt better. We were halfway through dinner when I had worked up the courage to come out to my father, mother, sister and brother as a toilet slave. My sister left the table angry. My brother, in his normal insensitive way, just laughed. My mother and father looked concerned, so I explained to them that everything was fine and that being a toilet slave only meant that I derived pleasure from a woman defecating and urinating in my mouth. They seemed confused, but also accepting of their toilet slave son, which makes me emotional just thinking about it.
How about furries deliberately getting their hands amputated so they can satisfy their paw fetish? Where's that meme of God pressing the reset button when you need it? There it is. So in summary, everyone's atomized, disenfranchised, depressed and lonely, mainly because of modern technology, the loss of faith, and the complete failure of hypercapitalism to enrich their lives with any purpose or meaning. And to cope with that, they're all on drugs, becoming alcoholics, and killing themselves, or a combination of all three. Or they're turning to increasingly more degenerate sexual fetishes and alternative lifestyles, including sex infanticide, getting people to poop in their mouths, or getting their limbs hacked off. And many conservatives are so petrified about losing appeal or appearing uncool that they've abandoned all their conservative principles and won't say a word against it. Them GDP numbers, though.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, your take, man.
Well, it's always interesting to hear Paul's take on things, and he makes some good, valid points. I some of his disagreement with certain things he said, and that's the Vorpal Bite. He goes on to say, what's he say? Just bear with me. He's quite a bit, actually, he's really involved in the commentary tonight in the chat, so I do like people participate in what we do. There's a few things, but I want to read this part. He said, I disagree with PW. There is only one reason degeneracy is run amok: lack of parental involvement. He goes on to say, broken families create broken communities. And I think I agree with Thorpe there. Dave. How true, if you haven't got the parental skills or you've got lack of them, what happens to society? I think he makes a good, valid point, and I think Paul does as well. So, I'm sort of sitting from the edge there on both of what Paul has said and Paul. So it's sort of like that. I'm not a one for sitting on the walls. You do know that, don't you, Dave? You know me. But, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of sense in both what I said. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, Jeff, I really think it is a combination of things. There's no and there's no magic bullet to cure it. I mean, you know, I think that God is, you know, bringing God back into our lives on a regular basis, and just doing, you know, trying at least to behave the way Jesus did, and, you know, picking up a Bible and reading it, or trying to behave in a godly way. In more of a godly way, that is a lot more fulfilling. I've had the opportunity in my lifetime, and that's why I've given some of the shows I've done to God, because I'll be doing them, and I get this, I can't explain it. I get this feeling around me, almost as if there's an electric shield around me or something like that. I can feel the spirit. I can feel the spirit going in me, you know, and radiating out, because I know that at that point I'm in tune with God. And let me tell you something, guys, this is not coming from someone that's never done anything. I mean, I used to do crystal meth. I mean, I smoked a fair amount of weed in my time and used to do some drinking. So, you know, I can hardly say that I've been pure my whole life, but I will say this, that the life that I live now without all that junk is far more fulfilling than it ever was when I was getting, you know, drunk and high and stoned and all of that stuff. There's a lot more fulfillment to it. It is the problem, I think, with degeneracy, Jeff, is that we don't want to wait for anything anymore. That's part of it. We have to recognize this also in ourselves. We're impatient people. Yeah. I know I am. I mean, I'm the same. I'm the guy that will put something in the microwave and stand beside it and tap my toe and go, "Come on," you know, and it's only got 10 seconds more to before it's done. You know,
ladies and gentlemen, I can agree, because I know what Dave's like. How true, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, the things, and let's face it, I mean, there are fewer things more immediate than you know, getting a needle in your arm and getting mainlined with crank or taking a slug of your favorite booze or something like that, and a few moments later, you know, you're in la la land. But
it's almost escapism from reality. Once you've got your mind is cleaned from the drugs or alcohol, and you've got clarity, things will probably okay. You just got to accept that there's a reality. You can't hide from reality, because it's going to come back,
brother.
And it's going to hit you harder. I hope you didn't mind me interjecting there, Dave.
No, mine, man. That's exactly what you should be. You know, not only is it your show, you know, and you should be doing that, but no, that's exactly what I'm talking about, man. You get it, because when your entire goal is set on looking at the next sporting event, or waiting for the next drink, or the next hit off a joint, or the next pill, or the next super expensive food, or the next really good mattress rodeo with your favorite partner. You know what I'm saying? If that's all it is, eventually in the end it turns out to be nothing, because all that stuff just fades away. It's gone, man. There's nothing there anymore. If you now, Jeff, you respond to this. For me, I've found in the past few years, and this began when I started doing the Unpleasant Blind Guy. That's why I think I was drawn to do that by God. If you begin doing for others, and I pointed this out in a Christmas special I did called Shining Star. If you become or try to become a shining star in somebody else's life, if you try and make that difference for other people and become something larger than yourself and try to become something better than yourself, there's a lot more to it. And you've done some of that, haven't you, Jeff?
Well, yeah, I would agree with everything you said there, Dave. As I say, it's getting back to reality. And what you said, Dave, it's not who you are, you know, nothing. It's about what you do. It's if you to go out and say hello to people and to see people walk away and to smile, to know that you've interconnected with people and you've had a laugh and a joke. You've made people's day. As far as that's just, this is the simplicity of life. It's how, you know, that just a little thing like that. A story that I told Dave, and I spoke to many listeners a few years ago now. I was waiting for a bus when it came home, and I got talking to this little coloured lady, and she had a little boy. I think she was probably a nanny or something like that. But I got talking. We was having a chat. We was having a laugh, saying how nice the weather is, this, that, and the other. And we talked for a little while, and my bus turned up. I said, it's been really lovely talking to you. Have a great day. And I got on the bus, and the bus turned around because it had to turn around to go back out, right? So as it turned around, this lady and this little boy who's standing there both waved at me on the bus. And, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to say, I shed a tear. It's just an amazing feeling come over me that you've touched people's lives. And I think that's all we try to do, achieve when we do these shows, is to touch people's lives. And some of the people getting involved with the bite tonight has been making some awesome comments. And something that he said is, a mother and father is the cure. And that, I think that makes a lot of sense because, unfortunately, there's a lot of families, are broken families, aren't they, Dad? That is a lot of the problems we have. But
I'll go along with that, That's part of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is just a little bit of something that meant. I spoke to Dave about it before, and it did. I couldn't stop thinking about that all day. I was quite emotional that, you know, you such people that they didn't even know me, but they wanted to give me a wave because they really liked the interconnection with what we had. Special, isn't it, Dave? That's what I'm saying. That's what a change that you can make in people's lives. Just anything like that, you can make such a change. Brighten people's day up, you know?
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, even if you're living in a city, which a lot of us, you know, at least here in the United States, and I'm pretty sure it's the same in the UK, Jeff, people that come from small towns and everything, they talk about how unfriendly big cities are and how you don't even know your neighbors. And, it's this huge anthill where everybody is against everybody else and all of that. And, I just want to say I admire that story of yours because it's what we were talking about earlier a lot of people might have been listening to that and going, well, I can't do all that stuff, but you can do what Jeff talked about. You know, you can approach somebody, you know, and I'm not saying be a babe in the woods. We know there are evil people out there that are looking to hurt other people. But what I think is a good thing to take from this is, don't overlook the opportunity to make a connection, to make a friend, to who the hell knows, maybe even make a loved one. Jeff, I don't know if I told you this before, but I'm gonna reveal this right now on the Evening Spence League radio show, right here. Yeah. I've had a girlfriend or two in my life. Yes, I have. And the best ones. Yeah. A few.
Bless you.
And the best one I ever had, I met at a bus stop. There you go. You know that old song, you know, bus stop and umbrella and all that junk.
That
I met
the
her at a bus
stop. By the way, Dave, it's one of my favorite tunes back in the day. Thank you, Dave, for that recollection.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it wasn't planned or anything like that. I didn't go to a club or any of that mess. I just met her at a bus stop, and that we just made that connection. And it wasn't just, okay, I'm not going to talk to this person over here. I'm just going to walk over here by myself. No, you know, it was all about that. It was making the connection. And I remember in those days, Jeff, this was when I lived in Fort Worth, Texas. And, you know, I was taking, you know, like two buses to and from work and all this kind of stuff. And my God, you know, I know there are people out there who take public transportation. They can identify with this. You know, it got to where a lot of us would take the same buses in the morning and return in the afternoon. And, you know, we you know, have, as you said, Jeff, you know, have a little talk, a little laugh and that kind of thing with each other and things of that nature. We were making those connections, even though we didn't know each other, that past just waiting at the bus stop. I mean, and that's only one example, folks, but what it shows is, yes, as Borp says, family is vitally important. The linchpin, I think, in this is God and in letting his spirit in and in admitting that we are not all that and a bag of chips and in sharing the love with other people. You know, and it doesn't matter what skin color somebody is or any of that mess. Skin color doesn't matter, Jeff. And any of that other mess, none of that matters, man. Share the love.
I met
my
first wife, Dave. You know, you met one of your a girlfriend from a bus stop, and you got talking. Well, believe it or not, and this is something else I want to share. This is a bit of personal details. My first wife, who I dearly loved and I miss her every day still. I met her on the train. Dave, I was on the way home from work, and her and her friend, I think they'd, a friend come and met my wife, to-be, and they was going out, done a bit of shopping, and sitting on a train carriage, and there my buddy, we were just finished work, I said, it's two birds there. I said, come on, mate, let's see if we can pull them. Because that's what we did in the car. You know, so we just got on chatting. Say, and before you know it, we'd made a date. This is on the train journey. It wasn't too long a train journey. In that between that time, we said we'd meet up where I used to live at Forest Hill. We'd meet up and go to the pictures. We'd go down to Catford to see a film, and basically that was the beginning of my first one. So there you go, Dave. We talked about meeting people. And it makes such an importance in your life, and that's where I met my first wife. God bless her. You know what I mean? And
beautiful, man. Stuff. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And of course, you know, it's cut a long story short. Grandchildren, great grandchildren, all the best from that meeting of my future wife on that train so many years ago now. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. A bit of nostalgia for you. A bit of looking in the past and things, but at the same time, I think we've made some really good points this evening. You know, it's not always going to be. We talk about the main stories, the main issues, but also we want to talk about things that's so important to society. And we see this breakdown. We've seen it diminishing. As I said, God's gone out of the country in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And
out of the world
of Christians, and Christianity is trying to be, you know, they're trying to, well, they're corrupt. The churches are corrupt now, aren't they, Dave? I mean, this is society.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, it's it seems a bad time where we live, but, you know, we are bearing testimony of the way things are unfolding. But, Dave, I'm going to ask you, I've got to thank Vault for tonight for some really... some really interesting things, Paul, this evening, and you have a good evening. but I hope to speak to you. I hope you listen to the show Monday. We'll be doing, yes, so we've got that 11 a.m. show, just what you was asking for. We've got a show, and it's going to be a great one. But, Dave, your final thoughts and where people can catch up with you during the week.
All right, man. Yeah, as you said, Jeff, we want to remind folks one more time. We're going to be back, not on Sunday, but on Monday the 30th at 4 p.m. in the U.K., and that's 11 a.m. in the United States of America with Rhea Bowe, who is going to be a really great guest for us from Sunday Long Live Radio. So be there. It's going to be off the hook and great. We're going to have some good light stories. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now you guys can listen to my stuff at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. I can also be heard through the SHR Media YouTube page and on the Western Free Radio Network, baby. And remember, you guys, if you're listening to that through here, this show can be heard at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. In the U.K. and at 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States on Thursdays and Sundays normally. But we will be back on Monday with a very special show. I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, Brexiteers, keep that going, Brexiteers, and world patriots, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender ever. Jeff, going to toss it back at you. Catch it, brother.
I always like listening to your final thoughts on that day. It's really, I think I've enjoyed talking about the show tonight and different things and aspects of what we've been discussing. It's been really interesting. It's been interesting in the chat as well, Dave, which I do like to see. We won't be back Sunday, but we'll be back Monday. We'll be back Monday. Guys, you've got to listen to this show. The next show that we do, we'll say, you know, good shows, but I can't wait to do Monday's show. I know, Dave, but we're really excited, and I know Rebo, she's also quite excited about the prospects of the radio show. So, once again, I've got to thank you all, wherever you might be, whatever part of the world. And we know you listen. And don't forget, you can also listen to us. If you miss the show, I was on the road there, I think, you can always go to www.englishdefenseleague.org.uk. You can check the site, and the radio show is embedded there. Whatever shows we do is embedded on that site. So no matter what you do, whatever you say, you can always go there. And the last show we've done, it will always be there. So for myself, from Dave, from the team, from everybody associated with the EDL, and of course, not forgetting our media team out there, does an awesome job. Big salute to all of you guys out there. I say we'll be back Monday. Remember that day, Monday, at 4 p.m. That's British summer time. Still British summer time, isn't it? Of course it is. Yeah. But anyway, for myself and Dave and everybody associated with what we do, good night. God bless. And I've got about 1 minute and 43 seconds to play us out with Going Underground by none other than The Jam. Take it away, boys.
Get out, Jeff.
People might say that I should strive for more. I'm so happy I can't see that fine thing happening here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. If I need you like that for far from its right, then the public gets what the public wants. You have to hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through the facts. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, the place you
Well, there you go. As I say, the show goes so quick. Sometimes you don't realise how quick the time catches up for you. But once again, it's been a good show tonight, as usual. I've enjoyed it. And as I say, if all provides you're still listening in, you're talking about Sunday, it's going to be rough about EDL there. Be no political show Sunday. I think there will be. I just want to let you know, Vault, a Global Patriot Radio Network have run 7 days a week. So I'm sure that you'll pick up on one of the political shows there, brother. Okay? It's good to see you here tonight anyway, Vault. But thank you for taking part with the conversation this evening as well. So anyway, guys, as I say, once again, we'll be back. Instead of Sunday, it'd be Monday, because we've got a special show. You know what I'm saying? We've moved the goalposts a bit, but it's really special. That's why we rarely do that. But for this time, especially with Rear Bo, it's joining us from Sunday Long Live Radio Show, WBN 324 Network joins us. It's going to be awesome. So anyway, guys, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight. And we'll be back again this Monday the 30th, at 4 p.m. British Summer Time. So we'll see you then, guys. Make sure you're there. It's going to be awesome. Good night. God bless. And no surrender. And be vigilant out there. Okay? Please be vigilant. Good night, guys.